It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, there's talk about whether Wisconsin needs a public newspaper. We'll hear some of the reasons why.
First, former Senator Russ Feingold is gearing up for a likely rematch against Senator Ron Johnson in the 2016 election. He lost to Johnson in the 2010 Tea Party wave after 18 years as a U.S. senator. He announced his campaign in May.
Feingold made his first campaign policy speech this week and released his first radio ad, focusing on economic issues, including a call for a $15 federal minimum wage. Yesterday, Marquette Law School released its latest poll, showing that his lead over Johnson had dropped significantly since April. This comes after 2 months of criticism from Republicans over how he raised and spent money while out of office.
Here with us now is former Senator Russ Feingold. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be on the show.
Well, the National Journal ranked Senator Johnson's seat as one of the two most likely seats in the country to flip in the 2016 elections. In April of this year, the Marquette Law poll showed you leading Senator Johnson by 16 points. But according to the latest Marquette poll out just yesterday, that lead is down to 5 points. What happened?
Well, listen, to be ahead of an incumbent senator at any point in the campaign is very exciting. But, you know, that's not what this is about. That's sort of Washington insider talk back and forth. You know, what this is about is whether the people of Wisconsin are going to be properly represented. And that's why I've been going to all 72 counties in the state. Before the end of the month, I will have been to all of them and ask people what is their concern now. And you know what? Nobody mentions polls. Nobody mentions this or that. They talk about their economic well-being. We feel very good about how our campaign is going, but that's because it's about the challenges that middle class and working families are facing to make ends meet. So my view is this should be about the people of the state. That's why I'm running.
Now, over the past few months, you've taken some criticism for the way that you and your organizations have raised and have spent money. Now, critics have said you're the guy who said he wanted to get big money out of politics. But while you were out of office, you accepted over $100,000 in speaking fees. Now, this is something you'd been outspoken against for judges and politicians, and you used funds raised for your political action campaign committee, mostly for fundraising and for salaries. So how do you respond to critics who say that those moves represent a big departure from what you've stood for in the past?
Well, they're not a departure at all. Those stories are completely inaccurate. My position against honoraria had to do with people in public office. In other words, judges getting honorariums or politicians getting honorariums when they're in office. What I've done since I've been out of the Senate is I've been asked by various educational institutions like Marquette University Law School, Lawrence University, and various schools around the country if I would come and speak to their students. And it was usually because the students had requested that I be the speaker. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I'm proud to have done it. So, frankly, that's almost a goofy criticism because the whole basis of this issue is what people in public office do. You're in public office, the public is paying your salary. I've been in the private sector during this period, so it doesn't really apply. So, again, what this is just an attempt by the Republicans to get away from the fact that the issues addressing economic well-being for Wisconsin families aren't being addressed by the incumbent senator, who is a person of great privilege, who tends to focus on voting for corporations and multimillionaires and billionaires, and Owen opposes things like a federal minimum wage. He thinks we shouldn't have student loans helped by the federal government. So these are the real issues, and I'm completely proud and comfortable with the approach I've taken for the last 2 years.
Because this has been a persistent issue, I want to ask you, as you chose to accept those speaking fees, did you, for example, know then that you'd be challenging Ron Johnson down the road to get your old Senate seat back?
Absolutely not. I had no idea. First of all, there would be nothing wrong with that. The fact is, I didn't run several times for office when people requested me to. People asked me to run for the Senate in 2012. People were asking me to run for governor. It was not my intention to run for office again. I just didn't think about it a great deal because I was doing other things. But then I saw what had happened to the people of the state. I saw the attack by these big money interests from out of the state that support Scott Walker and Ron Johnson. I saw the attempt to divide and conquer people in this state. And you know, about a year ago, I realized, you know, I need to be one of the persons to try to help turn this around, to get back to our common values of the environment, the university, and mutual respect in the state. So it was at that point that I started thinking seriously about running again. For many years, I assumed I would not run again.
Now, people may hold you to a different standard because money in politics has been the major calling card of your career. Is it fair for people to hold you to the ideals of keeping money out of politics? And should you be elected, would that continue to be an issue for you?
Oh, they should hold me to the highest standard, and I have met that standard with every issue you've mentioned. Every single thing we've done with our organization when we were with the Progressives United, my own personal conduct, has been legal, ethical, effective at the highest standard, and I am very proud of all that activity. So I have no problem with being held to a high standard, and I have achieved it.
We're talking with former Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold about his campaign for 2016 to try to win his old Senate seat back from Ron Johnson. Now, recently you said that you're not going to follow a pledge you made in 1992 to raise the majority of your campaign funds from within the state of Wisconsin because of changes to campaign finance laws made since you made that pledge. What's changed since then?
Well, how about 23 years and a few Supreme Court decisions? It is the height of absurdity to suggest that things that were decided or proposed in 1992, which I lived up to each time I ran, should still apply. Because what happened in 2009? The Supreme Court decided to overturn the law of the land that had been in place since 1907. It said that corporations could use unlimited campaign contributions to destroy our political process. So it would be silly for somebody to still apply these rules or these pledges of the past that are not anything that I pledged for this campaign. I have got a far greater amount of contributions from Wisconsinites than Ron Johnson. It might be 10 times to one. But you know what? If people around the country want to send me $25 or $50 to add on to what we get from people in Wisconsin, I encourage them to, because how else are we going to take on the corporations, billionaires, the Koch brothers? It'd be pretty dumb of us to just sit back and let them strangle our democracy. So a pledge in 1992 doesn't make a whole lot of sense after Citizens United is fully implemented.
Now, admittedly, 1992 is a long time ago, but isn't the reason for that original pledge still in place that if you raise most of your money from outside Wisconsin, you could be held accountable to out-of-state interests?
Oh, sure. If you are wholly dependent on out-of-state interests, I have one of the highest percentages of any person running for office in the country terms of the Senate for in-state contributions. We're talking about 45%. And my opponent, Ron Johnson, our likely opponent, actually has less from Wisconsin. He relies heavily on out-of-state contributions and has welcomed these huge hidden contributions from around the country. The Club for Growth just announced this week they're going to do $2.5 million for his campaign. That's not a Wisconsin organization primarily. So, to me, this is the kind of principle we should follow. And if we can overturn Citizens United, which we need to do, I hope to get back to the day in the future when it's possible for people to run a strong campaign with contributions, a majority from their own home state. But it's not possible right now because of the corporate contributions.
So is the way that you're fundraising right now, including out-of-state money, still categorically different from the way Ron Johnson is raising his money?
He is raising more from out-of-state. We have a higher percentage of in-state than Ron Johnson does. We have 10 times more contributions from Wisconsin citizens than he does. So, yes, it's entirely different. He's far more out-of-state based. And, frankly, his contributions are from much wealthier people who give a lot more money. We have a much lower average contribution, so I'm very proud of that.
Now, I want to ask you about Wisconsin. After you left the Senate, you weren't a big presence in Wisconsin politics for several years. You worked in the State Department in Africa. You were not a vocal part of the Act 10 conflict between unions and Republicans. And you recently tweeted that the spirit of unity is still Wisconsin's guiding principle. Now, that tweet comes at a time when a lot of people say the state has never been more divided. And what would you say to people who wonder if you've lost touch with where today's Wisconsin is?
It's really ironic that you say that, because the reason I say that is that I've been all over the state many times in the last 4 years. And what I've seen is consistent, and I have been around the state a majority of the time, is that people are telling me that the state has been terribly divided. What I'm saying is the spirit of unity of the average citizen is still there. And it's one of the reasons we're doing very well in this campaign, is because people want somebody who's going to be positive and forward-looking. They want that spirit of unity back. So most people I talk to, I don't know who you talk to, but most people I talk to don't want us to have these divisions. Every day somebody tells me they have arguments at family dinners that didn't used to occur because of all this. So I'm trying to fight the divisiveness that has occurred and bring people together. And I am more in touch, certainly, than the incumbent senator. Right now, I will have soon been at all 72 counties listening to people. I'm not sure he's even done that at any point during the first 4 years he was in office. I'm pretty sure he hasn't. So I can tell you what I'm reporting to you is the actual view of the people of the state, and got to be one of the only persons who's been around to actually listen to everybody in every county.
Now, how would you plan to fight the divisiveness that we see in Wisconsin politics right now that a lot of people say is pretty entrenched and worse than it's been in a while?
Well, that's a sort of a defeatist attitude. This is a great state. People of this state care deeply about the environment, our natural resources, and most people, Republican or Democrat, are willing to work together on that if people don't try to make it a political issue. Most people in the state really care deeply about higher education, making sure students have an opportunity to get loans if they need it to get to go to college. Care deeply about our University of Wisconsin system that's been brutally attacked by the Walker administration. So I think there's a lot of areas of consensus, but most importantly, people want leaders now in 2015 going into 2016 who want to work for everybody. What Ron Johnson and Scott Walker like to do is figure out how they can just get the majority of people and then sort of denigrate and attack the rest of the people, whether they're public employees or people who work in factories, or whether it's university professors, or whether it's people in public office. They like to sort of make fun of other people's professions that aren't in their coalition. I believe that somebody who represents the people of the state has to represent everybody, even the people that were against them in the campaigns. And that's a value that Wisconsin used to have and that I hope to play a role in bringing back.
Let's talk a little bit of policy before I let you go. You came out this week in support of a $15 minimum wage at the federal level. This is something we talked about on Central Time a bit earlier this week. And according to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a living wage in Wisconsin is around $9 or $10 an hour because both wages and the cost of living here are lower than in other places, big cities on the coast. So do you think there could be a negative economic impact on Wisconsin if the federal minimum wage is raised too high?
I think there'd be an excellent positive impact on the state of Wisconsin if we were able to get to a $50 minimum wage. Because those people are going to buy things. They're going to buy the products that these companies make. If you are able to get people to have a decent income, where they are able to pay their bills and have some extra money to buy other things, that's the best thing that can happen to the economy. And I think in Wisconsin, most people, certainly if they work hard, should be paid up to $15 an hour as a minimum. I think that that is something that hard work should be rewarded.
Senator Feingold, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you.
We've been speaking to former Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold. He's running to win back the Senate seat he lost to Senator Ron Johnson in 2010. He launched his campaign in May.